Food shortages in Europe. What's missing from the shelves and why? From the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Grocery list in hand, you turn to pick up your tomatoes, but there's an empty shelf. When you look for your peppers and your broccoli, it's the same again. This is the reality for shoppers in the UK and Ireland, as some grocery stores are putting limits on buying certain fruit and vegetables because of a shortage of fresh produce. The BBC's Rahul Tandon spoke to retail analyst and former senior buying manager at Asda, Jed Futter.
We've got the weather that's coming out of northern Africa, so that has had a significant impact, particularly on tomatoes. But then also we've got in southern Spain, we've got weather as well. But that was just one part of it, because what we've also got is we haven't got production taking place in the UK. And normally at this time of year, we would have production starting to come through of things like tomatoes and cucumbers. Because the energy prices are so high, they haven't been able to get the prices that they need from supermarkets to plant the products. We get about 80% of our produce and salad this time of year from places like Spain, and they have suffered from very bad weather.
Is it time for the supermarkets to be paying more for their products?
What they need to be doing is they need to be paying in every sector, whether it's greenhouses, whether it's tomatoes, whether it's cucumber, whether it's eggs, whether it's chickens, they need to be paying above the cost of production. And for too many years, what we've had is we've had farmers just working off goodwill, and goodwill doesn't pay the bills. If it is cheaper to go abroad, then you are taking all of that risk. You're putting all your eggs in one basket. And as we've seen at the moment, then there is no options. Now, if you are limiting the options and something goes wrong, then we see empty shelves. The first job that a buyer has is to make sure that they have products on shelf. And that means at times you will have to pay higher prices, because if you've got an empty shelf, you're selling nothing.
Retail analyst Jed Futter there. Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are all down this morning. It's all because investors are still pretty unnerved by indicators the Fed might raise interest rates again. And the sales of French food maker Danone rose last year by 8% to $29 billion. But it's not all good news, because higher inflation and costs have weighed down its profit margins. Now, Hong Kong is issuing vouchers worth just over $600 to all permanent residents, as well as new arrivals, to support the city's recovery from the downturn caused by strict COVID restrictions. The government has rejected calls to hand out cash, saying the vouchers will ensure businesses can benefit. The BBC's Martin Yip has more.
This is the third consecutive year that Paul Chan is handing out these vouchers, but it's the first time under the current city leader John Lee. And despite the government's intention to support the general public when the whole world is facing a cost of living crisis, the amount it is paying out is only half of last year. The previous voucher handout, together with anti-epidemic expenses, is to leave the city with a fiscal deficit of $18 billion by the end of March, which technically breaches the city's mini constitution, the Basic Law. Mr. Chen argues that Hong Kong's level of reserve is still healthy, and China's economic recovery would bring a strong rebound to the city.
That was the BBC's Martin Yip. On the eve of the first anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we're continuing to look at the wider impact of the war. The BBC's Victoria Holland has been speaking to businesses about the consequence of conscription on Russia's economy.
The business owners that have stayed in Russia face incredibly tough decisions. Alexander is a business owner in the city of Vladivostok, the larger Russian port on the Pacific Ocean. He has over 1,000 employees, but many have been conscripted into the Russian army or have left the country to avoid mobilization. He didn't want us to name him or his business.
I have been running this business for 22 years. We sell auto parts in the Far East and Siberia. At the moment, I have 1,300 employees. We're currently faced with problems from the hostilities between Russia and Ukraine. In particular, mobilization is very hampering. They take everyone to war without any principle. From my company, 20 people were sent to the war. The most important loss are my key employees. They're very difficult to replace. and also we're trying to negotiate with the state. If I need to put a reservation on an employee, I will have to send someone else to the war. This is a very difficult choice.
How did it affect your business?
At the moment, the company's revenue has fallen by 20%, but not because of a drop in motivation among employees, but because we have reduced the flow of customers and buyers. They have the same anxiety. They can't plan for their future and don't want to buy new cars or repair old ones because they're afraid to be at risk of mobilization.
Our Russian-owned international businesses, who are already having to move countries to avoid sanctions, are now struggling with the loss of workers, like Anna Palmina, the owner of the international investment advisory firm Palmina Invest.
Our main office was in Estonia because it was very good jurisdiction for fintech companies and for startups to work in Europe and for international business. But starting from about March this year, we are in process of changing our jurisdiction because it was very difficult to run business in Estonia and to run business in Europe when you have Russian passport. I don't have like male employees, but I have contractors. Yes, some of them moved to some other countries, but some of them, they still here, they still in Moscow. And I think it's more like it's a panic, right? And it's a fear. So the people just want to move somewhere. Like some of them told like we are going for like vacation in winter time. We will work from some another place and then we will have a look.
That report was from Victoria Holland. And if you want to listen back or even share this as a podcast, we're available across all the usual platforms. I'm Leanna Byrne. James Graham was producing. And thanks to listening for the Markham Place Morning Report from the BBC World Service.